Hello everyone and welcome back to another episode of the Modern Workplace Hacks podcast. My name's Tom Freer and today Josh and I have special guest Mark Riley on the show, who is the CEO at IODM. Now, IODM are an intelligent accounts receivable solution. So if you have ever wondered how to make your accounts receivable more effective, then listen into this. There are some really great insights. And the fact that 18 million hours per year is spent by businesses chasing debtors, this is certainly one of those tools that can add some real value to your business. So have a listen. We'd love to hear your feedback.
Welcome to another Modern Workplace Hacks with Tom and Josh. Tommy, how are you?
Good, Josh. How's things?
Thank you. Good, good. Another busy week at the WinTech house. It's been end of year's coming and not coming fast enough for some people and coming too fast for others.
It is indeed. But no, we, as promised, we have another guest today, which is great because we've been talking it up probably for the last three or four episodes, getting actual people to talk to us. Instead of listening just to us. And today we've got Mark Riley joining us from IODM. I think I've said that right, haven't I?
You have. Don't worry, it's a tongue twister. I get it upside down sometimes.
Mark, thanks for joining us.
Pleasure, gentlemen. Thanks for having me.
Mark, look, introduce yourself. Tell us a bit about you and the company and where it all started. We'd love to hear.
Sure. Thanks. Thanks. And again, thanks for the opportunity. So look, I'm a chartered accountant. And for my sins, I'm also a native West Australian. Don't know if that's good or bad for your client base, but I grew up in West Australia.
We accept all.
Sorry?
We accept all.
I grew up in Perth, trained at joined Coopers and Librand as it was then before the merger with Price Waterhouse. That's how long ago it was. And trained in their insolvency division. So branched out into my own practice with another guy a few years later, practicing insolvency. And then, like everyone in Perth, and towards the late 90s, early 2000s, we drifted into the mining space. Had a lot of fun. Did some good things out of that. And I went to London for a while in 2009 for 4 or 5 years to do that, and came back to Victoria. Came to Victoria from London, Melbourne, and then got involved in some other things, and then IODM presented itself to me as an opportunity. They were looking to list and advance their business, and it appealed to me, from my insolvency background, dealing with companies that had folded, and one of the main reasons they'd encountered trouble was their cash flow issues. Obviously a key driver of cash flows is your ability to collect your accounts receivable. So it appealed to me, and I got involved and oversaw the float onto the stock exchange, and then slowly, from something that was supposed to be a passive investment for me, I suddenly found myself on the board, MD, and now CEO. So which is great. And look, it's been a fantastic journey to date, and it's we're on the precipice of some really good things going forward. I mean, the company's basic function, if you like, is it's a software that we don't call ourselves debt collectors, and we don't call ourselves an ERP system or a general accounting system. Okay, we're a specialist software that plugs into those systems, any of those systems, your accounting systems, and automates the AR function. And just automates most businesses and accounting firms will have a workflow in place or designed for their AR function, and we simply automate that workflow. Okay. Yep. And it's, we're not limited to professional service firms, accountants and lawyers. We've got a number of industries, clients of various industries on our books, from materials handling to medical space and everything. So we're agnostic about who we can help. If someone's issuing an invoice or raising credit, we can help them.
We can help them. And is that, you mentioned it, obviously your system plugs into any accounting system, and that's across, we've got the Xeros and the MYOBs.
Absolutely, Tom. We've got clients that use Xero. We've got clients that use MYOB, SAP, Oracle, Microsoft.
Yeah, right, all of them.
Across the whole gambit.
Well, whatever's generating an invoice, you can then pick it up and drop a workflow through it.
Yeah, 100%.
And what does that look like? Is that like everything from it wouldn't issue the invoice, it'll then do the first follow-up and the statements and the collect, like?
Correct, yeah. So it does, as you say, we don't issue the invoice, although we do have capability. The beauty about our software is we're not specifically off the shelf. You know, we're yeah. customers, okay? So we'll sit down with the client and say, what are your pain points? You know, what really causes you jip in your business or in your practice and in the AR space? And the beauty about why we do that is because, you know, there are products out there that do some of what we do, most of what we do, but they're also by general rule, normally off-the-shelf type products.
Here's a process. You have to abide by this.
Correct. And look, our view of the world is we'd like to customize and get it right so that when you're using it and paying for it, you're using 100% of the product. Paying for. You're not paying for a product that you're using 60% of or something.
Yeah, great.
Okay. And so that's what we really try and focus on. And as you say, we can do anything really the client wants. If the client says, we want you to do this. I mean, one of our sales guys, his catchphrase is, if I give you a magic wand and you can have anything you want, what do you want?
What do you want?
that's pretty much our mantra. We've got a basic engine. We can option it up or option it down or, you know, soup it up, whatever you want.
What are those? You mentioned earlier, obviously identifying those pain points. Do you see common pain points across businesses? Is everyone saying the same two or three things?
Yeah, and look, whether it's professional service firms, accounting firms, legal firms, or companies in industry, I think it's a general common theme out there, guys, that staff in those organisations are being asked to do more with less.
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay,
yeah,
and I, if anything is common, it's that, to do more with less. And by introducing digital transformation and automation, you can solve that issue. You know, you can go a long way towards solving that issue where, you know, as I said, just by taking simple manual processes and automating them, you know, I mean, you've seen on our website, you may have seen our website, we've got a couple of industry stats out there about things, and one of them is that on average in Australia, 18 million man hours are spent collecting our
stats. That is mind blowing. That is number.
It's
ridiculous.
And if you're, let's be honest, I mean, if you're a professional services firm, if you're an accountant, lawyer, where you're selling time for a living, you want to be selling time for a living. You don't want to be paying for someone to use their time to, albeit they won't be, generally that people doing the AR aren't revenue writers, but it's still a function. So, to give you an example of that, I mean, you know, if you're a company or a business, and you're issuing, say, 5,000 invoices a month, okay, and you allow, I don't know, 5 to 7 minutes a month to collect an invoice, that's 416 hours.
Yeah.
Okay. Yep.
And our system sweeps the whole ledger in an hour, or in minutes.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So whether someone and what we also find is in businesses where they haven't embraced technology and automation is it's still quite an old-fashioned way of running the ledger. They'll pick a monetary amount, $5,000, $10,000, draw a line under that. Everyone above that amount gets contacted. Everyone below that amount doesn't, and the tail blows out.
Yeah. Okay? Yeah.
And what we find with it, when companies start using our technology, they find they rein that tail in so quickly because they're getting contacted.
Yeah.
As I said, every we contact everyone in minutes. So whether someone owes you $1 million or a dollar, they're getting contacted in a minute. Okay. Yep. And then we build in functionality to make it easy for them to pay you. All right, so there's calls to actions, pay now, query the invoice, interactive query management. That's a big issue. We talked about issues before, pain points. It's query management, dealing with issues around invoices, okay?
Yeah, particularly in that time billing industries where it's how come I've been charged 2 hours and it should have only been half an hour or...
Correct. And what we've found with our query management function is that people can do it interactively and, what it does is it brings it forward. So you're not waiting till it's 60 days because, look, it's human nature. I mean, if people have got a reason people genuinely have genuinely may have reasons they're not paying you, all right? Or yeah, but they're generally not going to tell you till you ask them.
Yep.
And you might not get around to asking until it's 60, 90 days.
Yeah.
Whereas with the query management function, we give them an interactive thing. They can raise a query. And so they can say, you know, as you said, Tom, the figure's wrong, or I've been charged this and charged that. So you're bringing your payment times forward just by resolving queries.
Yep.
Yeah. And we all know, we all run businesses. You guys run a business. I run a business. We all have, you know, we all have a daily cost of capital, cost of business. Yeah. And every day we can reduce our outstandings, every debtor day we can reduce it by, we're just increasing the working capital for our businesses. And in many instances, companies, you know, for companies that we, some of the companies we service, reducing it by a day is hundreds of thousands, if not
big
million
money.
Dollars.
Millions of dollars.
Yeah.
Which, as you sort of said earlier, I mean, the one of the biggest things for businesses going insolvent is cash flow, isn't it? It's
correct.
They can be the most profitable business on the earth, but if they're not actually collecting,
correct.
Well, you can't do much with it.
Got to have cash in the bank.
Over my career as an insolvency practitioner, if it wasn't the main reason they went under, it was in the top two, right?
There's an element of fear, I think, from some people as well of asking for that. And, well, if I ask for it, am I going to put them offside? And whereas, obviously, the technology can assist with that process as well.
And look, it's not about making the point you make is correct, particularly professional services. It's all the partner relationship, client relationship is paramount. Okay. Yeah. That's what the business lives or dies by, is that relationship between the partners and the staff. And they're obviously very conscious of not jeopardizing that relationship. But the way we tailor it as and structure it is the communications aren't, you know, offensive. They're not aggressive. And we also, as I said, with query management and everything else, it's actually improving. We find a lot of time it's improving the client's experience.
Including
the payments, because they're not getting a phone call. Because let's face it, no one likes making those phone calls, and no one likes receiving them. Making the phone call, can you pay us? And no one likes receiving that. So if it can be done interactively, and automatically, and it's all about the communication. It's when you strip it back, we're a sophisticated communication tool.
And do you obviously within that framework, you've got language that you defined over years to assist those clients with that. This is how you ask for it. This is how we can position it so that doesn't become a barrier to the client going, I don't know how to ask them.
No. And look, we work with the client. We don't say this is our writing, this is our wording, you go for it. It's sitting down because they know their clients better than us, okay? Yep. And look, we have some additional functionality which helps out as well. So, you know, I come from a professional services background and I know the value of relationships. We know that there will be some clients and in some professional services and some accounting firms where the partner in particular won't want admin chasing particular clients to collect invoices. So what we do is, and you know, in the bigger firms where they're, you know, the medium to bigger firms where they probably have professional executive teams, CEOs and CFOs, we put some functionality in there that makes their life a bit easier. So what we do is that we still upload all the invoices, but we can freeze communications to certain clients.
So get that level.
Communication doesn't go out, but we can still, then you've still got it for reporting purposes.
Yep.
So we call it manually managed. So then, you know, the credit controller or the CFO at a medium, large accounting firm can then go to one of the partners and say, look, you said you're going to collect these. You know, your ledger's at 200 grand, you've collected 15. Okay. But so can we try our way, maybe? You know, but you're making that with empirical evidence. You're making having that discussion with empirical evidence behind you.
So that the system itself, obviously connecting to the ledgers, will provide that level of reporting as well.
Correct. Absolutely. Yep. We've series of reports, and again, we can tailor the reporting.
Yep.
If you want a particular report, we've got public companies where, you know, the CFO has tailored the reports, so his board pack for when it comes to debtors and AR is just our reports. He just spits them out.
Bang, and there it is.
That makes up his board pack for the monthly board meeting.
Yeah.
Because at the end of the day, it's a compliance tool as well. If you're a director of a public company and you're overseeing a ledger worth hundreds of millions of dollars, you need to know that it's been rigorously managed and everything else. And our thing's got a complete audit trail and the reporting. You can sit there and know that, okay, I've got the reports. This is what's happening. I've got audit logs if I want to dig granular to see what's going on. So it's from a compliance perspective, it's a pretty critical tool as well.
Yep. And do you guys also then get into the payment gateway side of it? So there is a payment function for the client?
Yeah, so we do. We don't touch the money. Okay. Yep. So we can, a bit like with the accounting software, we can interface with the payment gateways as well. We don't have our own. Okay. So the client will have, generally has an existing one that might be with their bank or with a third party provider.
Yep.
We can direct them to that. So if a client gets a communication saying pay now, they can hit that button and it'll go through the gateway. We also allow for international payments. We have a global partnership with Western Union. And so if people are receiving money if they've got an overseas client in some circumstances, the client might want to pay in their own currency.
Yep.
So when they hit pay now, they're in foreign currency, they're integrated, we push them straight through to Western Union's platform. And they make the payment direct through Western Union. And that's again controlled, because Western Union will give us a report saying these people have paid and the money will flow through. But also, if you have a fair bit of that, if people are paying you normally through to your bank account from overseas, there's normally a 2.5-3% fee. So by using our system in conjunction with Western Union, if you have a fair bit of that, you will receive 100 cents in the dollar, because Western Union will take their FX margin from the person paying, the client paying. So, if you've got a lot of it, it can add up. So for every $1 million you receive from overseas, there's 25 grand. Return to your bottom line.
So there's little things I think people neglect as well. They just don't maybe look at the detail around some of that, and what is it actually costing me, not only from a personnel perspective to collect the money, but transactional costs as well.
And it's just being able to, as I said, we said at the start that doing more with less, and we saw that get worse or exasperate during COVID, all right? Because we all had to do it. We all had to quickly deploy to work from home. And we found a lot of clients, potential clients, new clients, their systems weren't geared up for it. So they weren't geared up to work from home. Companies were struggling to communicate with their clients en masse, and not only that, management had no visibility over what the staff were doing. With our system, it's remote. You can be at home, you can be in an airport lounge, you can be wherever you've got an internet connection, you can log into our system, and management through a master dashboard can have real life visibility.
Absolute visibility of what's going on.
And scalable. If you're a multinational, we can give you real life multinational, global visibility. Okay. Yeah. And we found during COVID that was important, that people had to get up and running and communicate with their clients quickly. And that was one of our strengths. We also saw at the start of COVID where, those offshore teams just stopped operating when COVID started to hit India and the Philippines really hard. Their call centers were shut down. So there's little things that we've learned through COVID that, businesses with their software have to have an ability, have to have a natural ability to work remotely, be able to work with it.
Yeah, I think that's embedded now in a lot of we're certainly seeing it.
It's more.
Embedded there as to whatever solutions they're looking to do need to work regardless of where their team are. We're no longer saying, okay, we'll come to the office to do this function. It's okay, we've got this function, we've got this process, whether it's accounting, AR or whatever it is, how do we do that where regardless of who or where they are?
Yeah, 100%.
Yeah,
100%. Absolutely. And you've said you're sort of growing into overseas markets. Where in particular are you seeing growth with? And is there any sort of country, I suppose, that's off limits for this? I sort of look at this and go, everyone's collecting invoices wherever you are in the world.
Yeah, look, we're fully scalable. We're live in four regions or continents, if you like. We're live in Asia, UK, parts of Europe and North America.
Okay.
And that's predominantly, we've done that working quite closely with Western Union.
Yep.
Okay. And it's quite good because they've allowed us to, you know, sort of write. We don't have to, we're not walking into London, for example, establishing a site, you know, putting a board up and then going, oh, we need to go find some clients. Okay.
Yeah, yeah.
We're going in on the back of, a big brother, if you like, a global brand, tier one yes. brand. Is walking us is through these cities, so and it's quite good. So but we're probably, you know, clearly where I personally think the biggest overseas markets outside Australia will be the UK and the US. I mean, that's just a function
of numbers.
Function numbers, but it's certainly we're active Asia, parts of Europe, UK and US, and obviously ANZ.
Fantastic.
And is your is it all in-house developed as well, is it?
Correct. Yep. So we do all our development in-house in Melbourne. We've got an IT team in Melbourne. They do sometimes, depending on workload, utilise contractors. But generally it's done in-house. And we get constant, everyone that's ever had to do, and you guys would have seen it countless more times than I have, is anytime anyone has to do a software installation, that's always where it either, lives or dies.
The
installation. And our guys onboarding, I don't think our IT team's ever been to a client, ever been on site. Okay. It's all done remotely, particularly now overseas. They're onboarding people overseas.
Yep.
They get glowing reviews when we do the debrief with the clients. They get glowing reviews. And the way they onboard.
It's good, I suppose, working with those established entities like a Xero and a MIB and an SAP. Yeah. They're sort of defined in your connection methods and all that. So that does help, I guess. The big, as you mentioned, the biggest part of the process is what does the client want out of it, or how do they expect this to run?
Yeah.
And I think that's where most of the projects live or die, is the technology piece is actually, in comparison, easy.
Yeah.
Compared to the change management from a people and a business perspective.
Absolutely. And that's probably our biggest, in the phrase you use, change management, is that it. And that's it, 100%. And I don't think that's necessarily, limited to any one industry. I think we see it everywhere.
No one likes to.
like any success, any digital transformation success, and you guys would see this in your own business, if you don't have adopters in the business, it's not going to happen.
Yep.
It's going to happen. If you don't have buy-in at senior levels, at senior management levels, if you don't get the buy-in for digital transformation and automation, it's simply not going to happen.
And is that where you see, looking specifically at your product, the IODM platform, for me, it sounds like it would be a no-brainer in that sense. So where's the pushback? Is it just purely because it's different and new, or we're not ready for it?
And look, as a business, we sit down and ask ourselves that very question, because without wanting to blow out trumpet, we agree with you, Tony. We just think it's a no-brainer. Okay. But look, it's interesting how businesses operate. A lot of businesses we've found are focusing on payables, and there's a lot of payables products out there, okay?
Yep.
And they seem to get a bit more airtime, if you like, certainly in mainstream media. You've got governments now saying you need to pay certain suppliers within certain times, so that's getting more airtime. I'm not the smartest bloke walking the streets, but it's all very well getting to pay, putting your payment systems in place. If you haven't got the cash to pay them, because you haven't collected on the other side.
Yeah, correct.
You can have the best payable system in the world, but if you haven't got cash, it's all for naught. So it's educating them that, yes, automate your payables and everything else, but don't neglect your receivables, because that's your heartbeat.
Yeah, and maybe, I don't know, maybe there's that element, that stigma to it. It can be seen as a difficult conversation to have with a client, or in that's like, as a business, having that conversation around, can you pay me? I personally hate doing it. That's why I've got a CFO who does it. So, it's not a great process. That's the reason
we use automation. It takes the face-to-face out of it.
Yeah, the emotion out of it. Yeah.
You know, especially during COVID, I mean, we saw clients of ours using the system, using the communication. They would change their communications. And they would actually go on the front foot via the communications and say, you know, take it when we had a client who had a lot of clients exposed to the bushfires, was in the bushfire regions, all right? Yeah. So by a postcode search, we tailored the message for those postcodes as, if you're experiencing difficulty, just please reach out.
You get that sort of level of granularity in the system. Yeah. I want to send an email out to every client in this postcode or this. Right. Yeah, wow. Yeah. Okay, and then customize it to that level.
Yeah, and it's not, you know, and then it's, you know, because people, if people are experiencing financial distress, or in that case, it wasn't just financial, it was livelihoods. Okay, it was a real life death scenario. You know, the last thing they want, I suspect, is to get a phone call from someone saying, "Look, I know your house just burnt down, but any chance of paying that invoice?
Paying this bill? Yeah, yeah, that's right.
Crazy. Whereas if it's interactive and they don't have to, you know, suffer the stigma, as you say, Tommy, about having to talk to someone about a sensitive decision. If they can do it interactively, people are probably more open to it.
Yep. Yeah, absolutely. Yep.
And I think it's that element of giving the client that choice as well. I mean, we find that from a service perspective, it's giving the client the choice of the media that they want to communicate on, whether it's on the phone or via an email or via a chat or something. If you give them that flexibility, it gives you more of a chance to have that level of engagement. Okay. Yeah.
It's just about improving the experience for both parties. So we like to think with our system, we're improving the experience for the user, being your staff, for the person paying the bill, and for management. Everyone's getting an improved experience.
Where do firms or businesses, where do you think they, what's the first thing they should look at around this AR process? So to help them go, we need to sort this out, or we've got a problem. Is there a couple of areas where you'd say, go and look at this to get a really clear objective of where you're at today as a business?
Yeah, well, I think obviously the first one would be the aging. Obviously, if they've got what I described earlier, a long tail, you know, and that traditionally arises because it might be low value but high volume. Okay. So individually, that's not a lot of money, but you know, together it adds up to a chunk of change.
Look at the aging
and what that's and how old that is, the tail. And then also, you know, talk to your staff about what are the pain points. Like, is it you can't keep up with queries? So you're getting a lot of queries about, we're finding more and more, that could be a bigger issue than the aging. Actually keeping
queries.
Up with management.
Management.
And then the other one we find is reconciliation as well, because people will pay money into a bank account, but it might not be referenced properly. And we have a reconciliation module that uses AI and uploads the bank feed and uses AI to sort of, if it doesn't come up with a perfect match, it comes down to say it could be one of these three. So we find that they're your pain points, and it's just, I suppose, it's talking to your staff, because I think, as I said, I said at the very outset that, you know, staff in any organisation, particularly in AR and probably across other facets of the business, are being asked to do more with less. So it's probably talking to your staff is the best way to find out what's falling through the cracks. I mean, the aging and the query management, that'll give you signals, but to really, you know, drill down and have a deep dive as to what's causing the issues, I think, you know, have the upfront, honest conversation with your staff.
Yep.
And they might find that, you know, as I said, we touched on the nuances around professional service firms where partners want to keep control of it. They may and they may find that you may find the staff say, well, that's one of our biggest issues is that, you know, we're not allowed to talk to certain clients.
Okay. Yes. Yeah.
And then that becomes, I think, an education piece for the senior management as well. Yeah. Right? Because it was, as we said earlier on, it's balancing that fine line. You've got the professional relationship, you've got the client relationship, and then asking for money, and they're reluctant to ask for money. But you know, I have a view that if they're not paying you, do you want them as a client? Yeah. No matter how long you've had them, if they're not going to pay you,
where's the value? Yeah, that's right.
I thought one of the features which really stood out to me was the fact that you always attach the invoice to the – and I thought that is one thing, and I know this with my own accountant. When they send me a thing saying, oh, can you pay bill? Please pay this. My immediate email back is, can you please resend me the invoice because I've lost it? And I just thought that is such a small thing, but I can imagine probably one of the most common questions. And to have that each time attached, I thought was just a really good feature.
And it's we have a phrase, we sort of just we want to give them everything so they haven't got a reason not to pay. So we know that you've said it, Josh, I've done it. It's the first line of defense when someone I didn't get the, I've lost the invoice. It's human nature. We all do. And, but you know, with ours, it's okay, fantastic. I'm glad you said, because here it is here.
It's already there. We know you've probably misplaced it.
What's number two on your list?
We know you've already misplaced it. So here's another copy just so you can pay it.
And we have different functionality within our system as well. So we have functionality in our systems that we have. Our coding will tell us, will tell on the dashboard, will tell them once that email has been opened and read. So we can even, it just gives you, if you AR staff more information, I didn't get the email. Well, yeah, we know you did and we know you opened it at 2:40.
Just go and so check.
We use the phrase, you can run, but you can't hide.
No, that's good.
That's fantastic.
Excellent.
And obviously, great features already, but I'd imagine there's always queries coming in. What's the roadmap look like for sort of the next 12 months with some features you are sort of looking at, or is it sort of a consolidation stage at the moment for
It's probably a little bit of the latter at the moment. It's certainly a consolidation stage. We've just launched the new version of the dashboard and the software, but I suppose our improvements, if you like, come back to what I said at the start, where we work with our clients. We find generally our roadmap is almost mapped out by clients' needs. And client will come to us and say, we've been using this for 6 months. This is fantastic. But if it could do this, we think it's even more fantastic. We build it
for feedback.
And then obviously what you would have seen in your business, once you do it for one, you find out everyone needs it. And then it just becomes the standard offering, in the suite. So I suppose our development, we have regular advisory board meetings or consultative meetings with clients. We have about six clients that sit on a, advisory committee. We debrief with them every 6 months saying, all right, good things, bad things, what can we do better? What do you need? And again, so it's relevant. It's what we're building is relevant. It's not just build it, and they'll come.
Building it because you think it's nice.
Which a lot of software houses do. What's your sort of viewpoint, I suppose, on the future of accounting software and where a lot of, I suppose, technology is going? What do you think it is more around this AI-driven, automation-driven technology sets? Is that what you're saying out there?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, if you look at accounting firms, I think that their biggest issue, well, not issue, their biggest automation phase, I think, is going to be around practice management. It's going to be around that time cost component. It's going to be around time cost recording, the invoicing, and things like that. So, you know, it's it, that because that's, you know, that's 90% of their business.
Yeah.
Okay. Is practice management. Okay. Yeah. And you know, you'll see a lot of, you know, automation. You know, if obviously those practice management softwares already have a lot of automation built in, I think you'll see that increase significantly. You know,
yep.
Particularly around, you know, whip lockup and things like that. There'll be features built into that, and that's something we're looking at as well. Is not only an AR type thing, but a whip lockup type function as well, where
yeah.
You know, you can get a communication out to a partner saying this has been sitting in WIP for 42 days.
Yeah,
you know,
where's it at?
When's it going to be invoiced? You know, because at the end of the day, as I said, I mean, we're a sophisticated communication system.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, it's just a prompting. Mark, it's been great having you on the show. Very educational. And how do people find out more about IODM and where's a good place to sort of get some more information? Obviously, in the bottom of this this podcast, we'll be sharing details as well. But just for the listeners here.
And look, we're about to launch, I think, in the next 48 hours, a new website.
There you go.
IODMconnect.com. But also, look, come through to info, come through to our sales team. It's all the information on the website. Come through to me directly. But, you know, probably what we find is that, you know, it's hard to encapsulate everything we do on a website or in marketing collateral. No different to, I imagine, to your business. You can't truly sell yourself in a marketing document. So, You know, do some reading, look at the website, but I think then the point is pick up the phone.
Yeah.
Pick up the phone or drop us an email and we'll pick up the phone and you know, we have a discussion. You know, we're not gonna, as I say, we're not gonna say, you know, give us your credit card number and I'll put a disc in the mail or I'll put a code in the mail on an email to you. We want to know how we can really solve your issues. And it might be that we can't do everything at the moment, but let's work out if we can build it or we can customize and whatever. But let's start the conversation. I mean, do some reading, but you know, then let's just move on to a conversation.
Yep. Yeah, fantastic.
Excellent. That's awesome.
Mark, thank you so much. And
thank you, Mark.
Hopefully maybe even have you on again one day.
All right. Well, thanks for the opportunity and enjoy the rest of your afternoon lockdown free.
Hope you get the pork Douglas.
Cheers, mate. Take care. Thanks, guys.
Thank you for listening to the Modern Workplace Hacks podcast. Hope you got some value. We'd really love for you to subscribe to the podcast or follow us on YouTube and LinkedIn. Look forward to bringing you some more episodes soon.